Thank you, Harold. Harold came to my office in the middle of the week and said, "How do you feel about not having a bulletin Sunday?" And I said, "I don't know if we can get through a service without a bulletin or not." Y'all okay? We're about halfway through right now. It'll be all right. Well, today we finish this little series on This is the Messiah by looking at the verses that we, at least one of the verses that we sought to encourage you to memorize. This passage from Isaiah in chapter 9, where we read these amazing words, "For us, for to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And of the greatness of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. And the zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this." Father God, I pray that as we look at this passage, that Father, we would see in this the promise that we celebrate each year in our culture called Christmas. The promise of one who would bring us structure and security and your presence on a regular basis. And that, Father, we would not take that gift lightly. And we would accept that gift into our lives. And we would let that gift transform our hearts from the inside out, changing us to be more like you as the days go by. Father, give us your word this morning as we look at this. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Well, as we close out this series, we turn to this little passage that contains the memory verse from our entire series. Now remember, Isaiah served as a prophet of the Lord in the latter days of the kingdom of Judah. He lived in the days of the days when the northern kingdom would fall. The northern kingdom was the kingdom of Israel, and those individuals would fall to the Samaritans. It's not the Samaritans, they would become the Samaritans, excuse me. And he likely died during the reign of good King Hezekiah from the southern king. And there's one little kind of little, y'all know I love obscure history, and so I just have to throw it in every once in a while, but there's an obscure story that says he was possibly sawed in half during the days of King Manasseh, who, by the way, would have been Isaiah's grandson. If you can imagine that little twist in life, that your grandson would hate you so much. But he writes these words, and he foresees the destruction of Israel. He foresees the destruction of Judah, and he foresees the work that God was going to bring. And when he says these words, he says, there's going to be a gift coming. And that gift will have a purpose. And so that's what I want you to see this morning. First of all, is that this Messiah that we've been talking about is one who was sent by God. I have to tell you, I've never really studied this passage in depth until I got into the message preparation this week. And I began to read this passage, I began to think about it, to ponder it. I got to look at this, I said, this was no accident that Jesus was sent. Look what it says in the text. For to us a child is born, to us a son is what? Given. There's an intentionality in this process. And so here Isaiah was living in the days of a divided kingdom, a day when things were not great, the days when Israel itself fell in the northern part of the country, and he had a calling from God that said this: I want you to speak truth into the lives of people. I want them to hear that while things are ugly now, while the pathway they're in now is difficult, while the outcome of their choices is going to be destruction, there's a better day coming. There's a better day coming. Into this mess, God says, Isaiah, speak to them about the positive words, about the good things, about the great things that I'm going to do for them. He says, I want you to see there's coming a day. From Isaiah's perspective, some 750 years in the future, I don't think he knew that, but 750 years in the future, Messiah would come. And notice that intentionality here. God is not just saying, well, maybe if we get there, we'll find something that we'll make work that could figure out a way to fix the problem. No, he says this: to us a child is born. To us a son is given. He's got a purpose behind this. This idea that Christ was some kind of fill-in or accident or some kind of one who was merely adopted by God is ludicrous. It's crazy because God is saying this, I'm going to send, through the prophet Isaiah, he's telling him, I'm going to send one who would be for you. Now, I got to tell you, I think about the history of the world as the Bible presents it, and I think about the story of why God worked through one family and not another. You've probably never given that much thought, but you think about why did God decide to choose Abraham and Sarah instead of Bob and Mary who lived next door, you know? Why did he choose, they weren't really Bob and Mary next door, but you get the point. Why did he choose to work through that line? Why did he choose to bring redemption through that heritage? And yet God, in his intentionality, says, I'm going to work through Abraham. I'm going to work down through Moses, and I'm going to work down through the line of David. And the sovereignty of God says, here's what's going to happen. I'm looking down through history, and I'm looking down into this process, and I've got an intentionality that says, I'm going to change your reality. Please catch what he does here. To us a child is born. To us a son is what? It's given. There's a plan here. There's a thought here. And so God himself sends Messiah to live among men, to be born of a virgin in Bethlehem, to live in such a way that those who were looking could say, look, there's God. And God's design had been always to redeem. To redeem who? To redeem you. He says, I've got a plan. So why did he come? And I have to tell you, I love, is it, Harold, help me out here. Is it Handel who took this and put it to music? I got it right. I'm not a music historian, I'll just tell you that. But he took this, and I've always listened to those amazing songs and tunes, and they get to this next phrase in the middle of verse 6, and I go, what? Look at it. Messiah is going to what? He's going to supply our solution. Look at the text. And the government will be on his shoulders. Now, I don't know about you, but some of my earliest run-ins as a teenager with government were not positive. Y'all with me? You know, there's a street in my hometown that I believe I met every police officer in my hometown at some point during my high school years. They wanted to talk to me for some reason. Y'all with me? So government to me was not a good thing. So I read this passage and I go, the government will be on his shoulders. So God is going to send his Messiah. He's got an intentionality. He's got a purpose. He's got a plan. But then he's going to do this weird thing, and the government's going to be where? On his shoulders. The reason he does it is here. The government, and I don't know about you, but this little phrase has befuddled me a bit. I'm going, why would he do that? Over and over again, what we see Messiah and Jesus revealed is he had not come to do this. He wasn't human king. You know, the people in Jesus' day kept going, oh, he's coming to release us from the Romans, and we're going to establish a kingdom, and we're going to be in power, we're going to be powerful, and we're going to be influential. That wasn't Jesus' plan. So I'll read this text, and I go, the government will be on his So he was sent, why? Not to set up a new government, but to save souls, to set us free, to bring us into a spiritual kingdom. But stop for a moment and think about government. You're going, wow, that's a weird thing to think about on Christmas morning. But what is the basic purpose of government? Whether it's democracy or a monarchy or even a dictatorship, the ultimate purpose behind government is to bring what? Structure. To bring order out of chaos. Now you go, well, a dictator brings order out of chaos, but I wouldn't want to live in it. I didn't say it was always a good structure. I'm just telling you, that's the thought behind government, is to bring structure. At the very most basic level, government's designed to bring about a stable society. And it doesn't matter what form it is. So when Isaiah speaks of the Messiah carrying the government on his shoulders, I think what he's talking about is not we're going to set up a government office somewhere. He's saying this, I'm going to bring you the solution you need. Because let's be honest, all of us in our lives without God, we find what? Chaos, disorder, no structure. And God is saying, I want to bring to your life a solution that will change your life to the core, a structure that will set up in your life a reality that is way better than you could ever imagine. And Isaiah wasn't saying that Messiah is going to establish this earthly kingdom. He's saying, I'm going to bring order and structure and fundamental need to your life. He's going to bring forgiveness. He's going to bring blessing. He's going to bring structure, as we talk about. And he's going to serve as a much better government than we could ever imagine. In our day and age, it doesn't take much to imagine a better government, does it? You go, well, is he being Democrat or Republican here? I'd want to be just equal opportunity. They're all nuts, okay? I always love my grandmother's, my Nana, her phrase about anybody in government. She goes, well, if they're not crooked when they go in, you know the rest of that one? They will be when they come out, you know. But that's not the government he's talking about here. He's talking about not an organized earthly government, but a structure to our life, this idea of something that makes sense out of nothingness. And so Messiah is sent by God, why? To supply our solution. He will also speak to us of the better way. Now, verse 6, the last part of verse 6, we could spend the rest of the day looking at these words. And some of you are going, did he just say, no, we're not going to, okay? We got toys to go home and play with. Some of us have got toys to go home and put together, okay? I'm just saying, it's just Christmas Day, right? But I want you to see this real quickly, because what you have here in Isaiah's words are four pairs of words in the Hebrew. And so they really go together. You find Wonderful Counselor, you find Mighty God, you find Everlasting Father, you find Prince of Peace. And the idea here is he's talking about these four couplets as a way of describing the character of the Messiah who will come to set up structure in our lives. You with me? He says, I'm going to bring a better way. So he talks about this idea of counselor. We find the Messiah is able to speak into our lives this, words of encouragement. Have you ever sat down with a counselor? Don't raise your hand. You ever sit down with a counselor before? What do they do? Whether it's a pastoral counselor or a clinical counselor or a psychiatrist, their job is not to fix you. That's where a lot of us mess up. We go to the counselor and say, well, they're going to fix me. No, they're not going to fix you. They're going to help you work through the issues. They're going to help you bring structure to your life. They're going to bring words of encouragement. They're going to help you illuminate and see, maybe I should be doing this instead of that. That's the idea that God wants to bring into our lives with this one promised Messiah. He's going to bring a new direction and encouragement, this idea of a deeper and broader wisdom that we don't get any other way. He's called Mighty God. That's a way that's higher, greater than the path we'd normally take. He moves from the mundane to something transcendent. Mighty God. You ever stop just to think about that phrase? There was a song we sang a few years ago. We don't sing it much anymore. What a mighty God we serve. What a mighty God we serve. Do you know that one? Angels bow before him. Heaven and earth adore him. What a mighty God we serve. You know, when we put it to music, sometimes it almost becomes mundane. We kind of just run it through the words and we miss it. But what a mighty God we serve. He says, I'm going to bring you a mighty way. I'm going to bring you a way that's way better than anything you could imagine. He's also called Everlasting Father. Let's be honest, guys. None of us are everlasting as dads, are we? We're not always completely stable as dads. I'm not calling you unstable. I'm just saying we make mistakes, and we go down roads we shouldn't, and we do things we shouldn't, and we say things we shouldn't, and we, right? Not our God. He says, I'm going to bring you an everlasting Father, one who's on a higher plane. He brings mercies. And he's called Prince of Peace. I just love this. Instead of living with strife and pain and conflict, he says, I'm going to bring to your life peace. Man, wouldn't life be better if we had a little more peace? See, you can find that in Christ. He says, I want to bring to you a peace that is passing all understanding. So he's going to bring this idea of solution, and he's going to bring this idea of a better way, and he's going to bring this, a steadfastly expanding presence. Now you're going, wow, we're getting kind of big here. Yeah, we are. And so look here at verse 7. Of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be what? No end. Now, let me just stop here. The thought in the original is not in the sense of linear through calendar, that there would never be a last day. The thought in here is that it would be something that would continue to expand as it moves forward. So let's read that with that thought in mind. Of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. It will continue to get bigger and bigger and bigger. and bigger. And he will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and what? Forever. That thought is really expressed well in the second phrase there. And so this understanding that Messiah is going to be sent by God to supply our need, to lead us to a better way, to find the supernatural, we find this, that God continues to expand, not only in our lives, but in life. You're going, wow, this is kind of a big thought here. It is. I want you to follow with it. Notice the big idea here. The greatness of government and peace won't end. In fact, the idea behind this leads us to understand that God's work is going to continue to expand and grow in all aspects of its movement. Think about this. When God called out to Abraham and Sarah, or Abram and Sarai, as they were originally called, how many people were following the Lord? Not many. I would say at this point, the only ones we can say for certain were what? Two. And he's going to expand and grow and help. So even when you come from Abraham and Sarah down to Jacob, you know, the family gets a little bigger, and you come down from there and you get down to Moses and you finally find what? A couple million. And then they possess the land. It gets a little bigger. Do you know where we stand today, some 2,000 years after the birth of Christ? About 2 billion. This idea of following Christ, of letting Messiah fill our lives, has expanded and expanded and expanded. What's been happening is the presence of Messiah has grown. And his grace and mercy continues to be shared. And his message is not merely just for one time period or one day a year, but it continues to expand. So what do we do with this? Real quickly, I'll give you three thoughts. We'll go eat lunch. You want to? Some of you are like, can we go now? Sure. First of all, I just want you to hear these words of encouragement. That's what these three are. First, God loves you. In the midst of all the hubbub and the bustle and hustle of Christmas Day and Christmas morning and running from family and running to do this, I want you to hear this word of encouragement. God loves you. One of my favorite translations of Scripture is the English Standard Version. Y'all probably know that by now. But they include what is a possible translation of this verse that I'd never noticed till I was studying this passage this week. Scriptures say this, and it's permissible in the Greek to do this. I'm not writing scripture. Please hear me. For this is how God loved the world, that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have what? Eternal life. What do we have to do to believe? See, I know many of you think there's no way God could love you. God can't love me. I've done this. I've done that. I've got a mess here. I've got a problem here. I've got a pitiful this. I've got a pitiful that. I've got an awful this. I've got a terrible background this. Y'all with me? If we were real honest here this morning, every one of us could come up with a list of things that make us unqualified for God to love us. Every one of us. Yet God, in sending his son Messiah, reveals the depth of love for you and for me. See, when we were caught in our trespasses and sins, God loved you so much that he sent his son to die for you. When you were living apart from God, he said, you can't fix your own problem, which is what? Sin. But I can. God loves you. All this comes back to this truth. God loves you. There's another song. I'm not going to sing to you this morning, but I'm going to keep quoting lyrics, I guess. It's just one of those days. There's a great song. It's a newer song, but it says this. He loves us. You know, it says this. He's jealous for me. He loves like a hurricane, and I am a tree, bending beneath the weight of his wind and mercy. When all of a sudden I'm unaware of these afflictions, eclipsed by glory, and I realize just how beautiful you are and how great your affections are for me. Oh, how he loves. Yeah, he loves us. Oh, how he loves us. Oh, how he loves us. Oh, how he loves us. What I want you to hear this morning, if you hear nothing else, is this. God loves you. And his love goes on. It says, I want you to hear this second word of encouragement. He also provides the way. Notice, I'm not telling you he provides a way. He provides the way. Isaiah saw Messiah coming sometime in the future after his life to provide the way for life to really be lived. And he saw Messiah as being the only way that God, that a person could be related to God and connected to God. And Jesus himself recognized that when he said these words, and he was speaking to Thomas, you know, doubting Thomas. And Jesus said to him in response to his question, we don't know where you're going. He said this, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And if you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. The amazing truth I want you to hear again this morning is God loves you and God's provided the way that you need to be repaired and restored and to find a pathway, not a pathway, but the pathway back to God or to God. By making that pathway exclusive in Jesus, here's what he does. He tells the world, you can't do it on your own. You can't fix the problem. You can't be moral enough, you can't be good enough, you can't be not kind enough, you can't buy enough gifts, you can't give enough to missions, you can't join enough churches. There's only one way. You know, some people in this day and age think, well, our multicultural beliefs, how can you stand there and say that Jesus is the only way? Because Jesus said, I am the only way. That's not loving. I think it's completely loving for you to hear that. I think I've told you all this before. We have a neighbor. She's an older lady. Some of you know her. If I looked over at her house and saw her house on fire, I have to tell you, I would take off, whether I had shoes on or not, running to her house to get her out. Why? Because to do anything else would be unloving. Get out, get out. The house is on fire. Jesus said, get out, get out. Your house is on fire. I'm the way for you to live. And then coming out of that, he wants you to follow. Look at the last word of encouragement. I want you to see God wants you. He desires you and me to follow. The idea here is the promised Messiah is not merely something we should listen to. Oh, yeah, it's great. Christmas morning, it's wonderful. Yeah, God loves me. God's got a plan for me. Great, cool. There's more to it. There's a pathway forward that we are called to follow, to live within. You know, there's some purported 2 billion people on planet Earth who follow Jesus. That sounds like a lot of people, doesn't it? Can I tell you something? There's 7 billion people on planet Earth. That means there's 5 billion people that don't know Jesus. Wow. I would say this, there's much work to be done. Some would say, well, everyone in Bowie County knows Jesus. No, they don't. No, they don't. There's people who need to hear the story of Jesus, the story of wisdom, the story of peace, the story of grace. Jesus put it this way. He said, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. There has to come a moment, friends, when we surrender to the Lord Jesus, where we answer the call to follow me. I love the stories of the disciples, their call in those early parts of the Gospels when Jesus would come down to the shoreline and he would be walking through the two villages down there at the shore of the Sea of Galilee, and he would look at people and he would say this, follow me. And they did. And the call has not changed, friends. He's calling to you, to me, to follow him. with everything of our lives, every time of our, every part of our being, every existence. So on this Christmas day, I got to ask you, you may have already taken time this morning to open presents and torn through wrapping paper and all that stuff, but have you received the greatest gift available to you of Jesus? I want you to not just let Jesus be Messiah, but to be your Messiah, your Savior, your Christ today. Jesus wants to be your Messiah. Will you let him this day? Father God, we thank you for allowing us to be gathered here this day to celebrate the greatest gift of all, which is Jesus. We thank you for your love for us and your mercy and your peace. And Father, our prayer right now is that you would speak to our hearts, and that, Father, we would respond as you call us to, and that, Father, we would obey and be a part of your kingdom's work. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. We do want to offer an invitation this morning. Maybe you need to make a decision. We want to give you that opportunity this morning. Let's stand together and sing, and come all you faithful.